In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Everyone dies, and everyone is a beggar. Many try to ignore it, but we all know that we will eventually die. Very few confess it, but we are all beggars. From the greatest of us to the least of us, the richest to the poor, we are all beggars. And if we refuse to confess it in this life, then it will become painfully obvious on the day we die, as the rich man found out. He begged Abraham for water, and yet not a drop was given. On this earth we have dreams. We have plans, ideas of how we want our future to turn out. When we're young, we dream of having a spouse, starting a family, being financially stable, financially independent from our parents. No one dreams of growing up and having to live with mom and dad forever. We plan on making a life for ourselves. And into these plans, we have children. Perhaps one or two or three, we have set a number. Anything less than that is somehow insufficient. Anything more is considered an accident, and we don't know quite what to do. We have our plans, our dreams of how life should go. And we want to be financially stable. And it's really not until we actually own a piece of property, a small part of this world, that we feel like we finally have made it. We have a place now in this world. We have something. We have plans for our kids also. We don't want them to live with us forever, but to grow up and start families of their own so we can have the joy of being grandparents without any of the pressures or burdens of being a parent. We have plans and dreams. We all plan to retire. No one wants to work forever. We want to be able to do the things that we want to do, travel to see the family, enjoy life. Since we've worked so hard for 40 plus years, we have a bucket list. We begin to check things off little by little. And so we plan on being the rich man, don't we? To have not just stuff, but to have some nice things. Now, having riches isn't wrong, neither having a family. That is not wrong either. But the rich man was blinded by his family and riches, by those five brothers and luxurious purple garments and feasts, so that he failed to see that he was a beggar. Perhaps he didn't come from money, that he came from the wrong side of the tracks. He was the first one to go to college and get an education, to make something of himself. He was the early bird who got the worm. He worked hard to get where he was. He invested wisely. He saved prudently. A dollar saved is a dollar earned. And so why not enjoy the life that he has created for himself? Why not tear down those barns and build bigger ones? Why not gather with his family, his five brothers, and feast and enjoy life? And perhaps he was also thankful to God that God had given him his wealth. Everyone wants to be like him in this life, to not have to worry or to fret or be concerned about money and food and house. We have dreams. Then the rich man died and was buried, and his poverty was painfully obvious. In hell, where he was in torment, in suffering, in agony of body and soul and mind, inside and out, he finally recognized that he was a beggar. He finally pleaded for mercy, but it was too late. Those in hell will not repent, but even if they do, the time has come and gone. No mercy will ever be shown to them, not even for a fleeting second. A drop of water will never be given. There is no turning the other side to the flames. It only consumes and grows day after day. No relief, because the rich man loved his wealth and his brothers and his food more than he loved God. On earth, he found joy and contentment in eating organically, healthy, or in having stylish clothes and a modern house. And so the question is, what do you love? The rich man loved his brothers, his food, he loved his house and his prosperity. Even if he saw it as a gift from God, he loved it more than God. So what do you love? We too have loved the wrong stuff, as is evident by our dreams. Even if we do dream about being in heaven with God, it's not nearly as often as we dream about earthly things. We love our country. We love good food. We love our family and our friends and being able to sit down with them and have an enjoyable meal at the holidays or whenever else they may come. What do we love most? Whatever you love most, that is your God. So what do our hearts reveal? What do our daydreams tell about us? The gods of family, food, and clothes cannot help us. They cannot stifle the fire or satisfy our longing. The rich man thought he had everything because he had everything in this life. We can often think that we are content because our checkbook is always full. It's the season for graduations, and even for those little kindergartners. And as they write, "When I grow up, I want to be." Not one of them writes, "When I grow up, I want to be a beggar." No one wants to live on the streets without food and a house, without a family to take care of them. And so everything the rich man had, Lazarus lacked. He not only lacked money and a home, he lacked family to take care of him. And yet everything that the rich man lacked, Lazarus had. Faith in the God who helps. And so Lazarus was a beggar outwardly and also inwardly. Did you notice that Lazarus doesn't do one single thing in this story? He's either sitting at the rich man's gate, or he's sitting with Abraham in heaven. He's not doing anything, but everything is done for him. God gave him the riches of heaven, where moth and rust will not destroy and where thieves will never break in and steal. God made him a child of Abraham, not simply by blood, but by faith. God then sent his holy angels to carry him to Abraham's side. For like Abraham, he too trusted in the God who helps. God sent drops of water to touch his head and to quench those fires of hell. For holy baptism is what saves. We all will die. That much we know. We are all beggars. That we must confess. We may not be beggars outwardly, but we are inwardly. We have no merit, no standing before God. There is no reason that God should help us in the least. We can't make it up to him. We can't say thank you good enough. We can't repay him. We don't add anything to God. We are beggars. This doesn't make us popular with the world, for beggars are not the movers and shakers in the world. And this certainly doesn't make us feel good about ourselves to confess that we are beggars. Those standing by the roadside holding signs don't feel great that they have to do this. It's humiliating, and we're embarrassed to confess that we are beggars with nothing to give. And yet it's literally a life and death situation for us. We desperately need God's help. And since we don't know when we will physically die, that makes our begging all the more urgent. Are we blinded by our family, our food, and our clothes so that we fail to see that we are beggars with nothing? Blessed are those who see they are dying. Blessed are those who see they are beggars Blessed are those who can look past the family and the food and the fine clothes and confess they are truly helpless. For true wealth is given solely by the Word of God. True family is created solely by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing that Word. Faith does not look outward. It does not look inward. It looks at Christ and His Word. And it will not let go of those promises God has made. It's latched onto them, and it is willing to suffer all things, even a horrific, bloody death, rather than to forsake those promises of God. So Abraham, even though he was rich, was a beggar before God who knew he needed God's help. Lazarus, though he was outwardly poor, was a beggar before God who confessed he needed God's help. And God did help. And so it's foolish to love anything else. It is foolish to love your family or your friends or your food or your clothes more than God. Because what good will they be as you stand before God? It is foolish to trust in the right form of government or in the right political leaders. Because what good will they do you as you stand before God? They too are mortal men who cannot save. So is your family and so are you. So love God above all things. Trust in Him above all things and lean not on your own understanding or the understanding of others or friends or family. God alone can save. And He comes to you solely in His Word, and so you need to be busy about His Word. You need Moses and the prophets, even as you need the Gospels and Epistles. So even if you lack daily food and a roof over your head, and your debt is too great that you'll never get out from under it, you need the Word of God 10,000 times more than you need food or clothes. The Word alone can save. And what good is it? What good is it if you are debt-free and yet you have not Christ? What good is it if all your plans come to fruition and everything goes according to your dreams, and yet you have not faith? What good is it if you have a place to go on vacations or the holidays, and yet you have not a place to go when you die? You need the Word of God, for that Word alone gives you forgiveness. And so we are beggars, crying out to our Lord for mercy. The rich see no need for Him, the rich in heart. And so Christ did not come for the rich, so He came for the poor. He did not come for the healthy, He came for the sick. He did not come for the strong, He came for the weak. And Christ became like us in every way. Now understand, we were not sitting in a fancy house with a closet stuffed full of clothes and a lovely food on the table and surrounded by friends and family. We were beggars, naked and alone, without house or money or anything to give us life, but destined to die a bloody, ugly death in sorrow and suffering. And so this is what Christ took on our life. So like us, He did not have a home. Like us, He was stripped of all of His earthly possessions, His clothes and all else. Like us, He had sores and wounds over His body. Dogs surrounded Him, a band of evil men encircled Him as He lay outside His Father's house, and then He died. This was our life, we were the beggars, so it should have been our death, but He dies in our place as a beggar for us. Faith clings to that man and that man alone. Faith clings to Him because He has been raised from the dead, proving that what He taught and did is true. And so in Christ we have forgiveness. Because of Christ we have life and are declared righteous and holy before God. So even today we approach God as beggars. Lord, have mercy. We have nothing to offer before Him that He should forgive us this day. It's solely based on who He is. We come as beggars because we still confess we are helpless and need everything from Him. The rich in heart do not see this. The rich man thought it would not work. He wanted something better, miraculous. Send someone who has been raised from the dead, then they'll believe. But Christ raised a different Lazarus from the dead, and the Pharisees sought to kill him for it. Jesus himself was raised from the dead. The soldiers knew it, the Jewish leaders knew it, the world knows we teach it, and yet the whole world is not converted. Miracles do not create faith. Faith comes by hearing Moses and the prophets. So let's turn our attention to the word of God, for it alone declares us righteous and holy. But to the rich in heart, that preaching of forgiveness won't grow the church. Something more needs to be done, something better, something people like to hear. No one wants to hear that they are beggars. And so for the rich, it won't work. They'll find other means, other things to busy themselves about as they gather together. But beggars will desire nothing more. We are all beggars. This is true. We also all are dying. That is also true. But in mercy, God has forgiven us. Faith holds on to the promise of God and will not let it go. And so in mercy, God will send his holy angels to carry us to Abraham's side. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.